Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Super Scaling Show, where we interview entrepreneurs and learn a secret on how they scaled up their businesses. Today we have a special guest, Howie Tan, who helps entrepreneurs systemize their marketing and growth so that they can have a lifestyle business that gives them freedom. Howie, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit more. How do you even become this person today? What led you here? What created this?
This episode was brought to you by Super Scaling. Join our free Launchpad community today, where we've created a valuable space that has free content on how to scale your business and where we bring together entrepreneurs just like yourself. You'll learn how to systemize and super scale your business so that your revenues can grow to at least $100,000 a month with a productive team from all over the world, raving fans as clients and happy founders who have true freedom. Visit superscaling.com/launchpad today. And now, back to the episode.
Hey, Alvin. Hey, everybody. Yeah, glad to be here. This is a great platform. And at the same time, the reason why I'm helping entrepreneurs gain freedom is because back in the day where I first started entrepreneurship, I realized that there's so much to do, so many like things going on. You're kind of like, because I used to be an employee, right? And I've helped businesses to scale from 7 to 8 figures since those days. And then when I became my own boss, my own employer, I realized that, hey, wow, you know, I need to do finance, I need to do traffic, I need to do all the operations and whatsoever. It's just crazy.
Everything, man.
And there was this point in time, a couple of years back, I fell into a burnout and also a bit of a depression. And then that was the low point in my life where I felt that, hey, you know, I need to rethink how I look at business, because back in the day, I was really just working like 14, 15 hour work days and no rest, not even in the weekends. Then one day my wife told me, hey, you know, if you are working so hard and not spending time with the family, there's no point in you going to business anyway, right? So with that comment, I realized that, oh, you know, I need to define my meaning. There's nobody, no bosses going to come and tell me, Howie, you need to put in your free time. You need to be there for your family. So nobody's going to tell you that, right? Not even my parents or whatever. So I decided like, hey, you know, freedom's going to be a focus for me. That's the reason why why I went to entrepreneurship in the first place.
I love the support. Freedom. The right. Supporting influence your wife has on you, like if she had not given you that insight, that nudge, I guess it would probably be a different Howie that we are seeing today.
I think that she has probably played a very big, a much bigger role in my entrepreneurship journey than I think, man, than she probably realizes. Nice. You know that every once in a while, once that one word, two words, or one sentence, it makes a difference. Like they make you better people. That's what spouses make.
the right spouses, man. That's what a good partnership is all about.
Oh yeah, exactly. So that's how it is. Yeah.
So how has life changed now that you have this newfound clarity, this new direction? How has that shaped the things that you do? Right, in terms of business, everybody wants to grow and scale their business, right? How is that different these days?
Yeah, so to give a little bit of a background, I'm a dad of a 4-year-old. So I tend to spend time. I tend to want to spend time with him and also just watch kids grow up because they grow very fast. So with this shift in focus, I have come to a point where I'm much more focused on systems and also looking for areas that I can plug in a business that helps to kind of plug the gaps rather than just focusing purely on scaling for the sake of scaling. And it's no longer building a business just to build the next zero, you know, like just from 7, you want to build to 8, build to 9, build to 10 figures. Then after that, you kind of lose your direction, right? But to me, I believe that business should support your life, not the other way around.
Oh man, I love that. So much resonance. Yeah. Love it.
Glad it resonates.
Yeah, so I think it's like a game or anything like that, right? If we don't have that intention or that clarity, then we're just gonna find ourselves in this like treadmill, and then, or is it a treadmill or this like hamster wheel? I think, and then we just keep going and keep going, but at the end of the day, we don't know why we are doing these things or what really makes us happy or what are the important things that we are going for. So absolutely love what you said. I don't think enough entrepreneurs realize this, and when we get that kind of clarity, I think that helps give us a much better idea of the direction forward. I know some entrepreneurs, the 8-figure, 9-figure entrepreneurs, even in terms of revenue, you know, in the past they used to think that they wanted, like, you know, big fancy mansions, incredible, like a garage of cars and all that. But I don't know, they actually, all that they want is, you know, time to spend with their family. They want to just take care of them. They want to just have like memories and experiences together with their children, their spouses. And that truly is all that matters to them, right? And no, they, you know, why then do you want a 9-figure business? What are you trying to do? Sometimes it then becomes a game of revenue instead. And then, you know, that kind of defeats the purpose of running a business anyways. So,
and I have a running joke with some of my friends to say that, you know, some people leave the rat race to go into another rat race.
It's
like, you're still trapped in another, you just created another hamster wheel for yourself. So you don't want that, right?
Yeah. Sometimes people think being an entrepreneur is cool, but you are leaving a 9-to-6 job and then ending up with a 9-to-9 or even worse. So yeah, got to be clear about, you know, what you're doing and why you're doing it, so that you can actually build the systems that help us get to where we're going. So I think that's what you're specializing in now. You help businesses with their marketing, with their growth. How does that look like? What forms of marketing, what forms of growth are you helping businesses with?
So I help, I consult companies who are established currently. Okay, so there are two types of clients that I help. One type is the established business, which the owner has scaled the company to a certain size and they feel like, oh my God, everything is all over the place and they don't know what to focus on to put everything together. And I go in there and I try to look for gaps in their businesses. So I look at their business as a ship, and I look for the leaks that are that are on that ship, and I point it out to them, and I say, "Hey, you know, you're building this ship, and you're piloting it, or you're cruising it over to a destination, but you have all these holes in your ship that is causing you to sink. You can use a bucket and throw out all the water, but if you don't plug those holes, you will continuously have a sinking ship." And I tell them, so I point things out, like, for example, email marketing is something that a lot of people overlook. And also sometimes they may have other traffic sources, like, for example, influencers or affiliates, or even like some of the advertising that are not, they are doing well, but may not be optimized. Right. And I go in there, take a look at it and say, "Hey, you're not maximizing this properly. And if you do that, you don't have to necessarily add another traffic source or add on more work for your team to do. All you have to do is just do this better. And then you're going to increase the output of your business by leaps and bounds." Right. And one of the areas that I have identified a lot of business have overlooked is actually email. And I call it the 30% revenue boost in your business that's hidden under your nose, right? And the reason why I say that is because a lot of people have built this amount of, you know, customer base in the form of emails, and they have failed to stay in touch with them. Sometimes, you know, we just send out one email a week, or some companies that went into, they may have even like 500,000 emails, but they don't even send out a single one like consistently, right? So when I I just recalled this client, right? When I went in there and I say, "Hey, you know, how long have you been emailing your list?" They say, "Oh yeah, we do. And I say, how consistently?" And say, "Okay, as and when." So when it was as and when, you kind of know, like, okay, they are not really doing it in a systematic way. They are a very sizable company, like 8 figures, but they did not take care of this area pretty well. It's quite surprising to know, right? Because you kind of think that, hey,
no, man, after like consulting and coaching so many businesses, right, I realized, you know, like what you said, sometimes it's obvious to some people, but to a business owner that has like so many things on their plate, sometimes these things just slip by, right? And exactly. And the ability to just like work on those areas suddenly just results in that increase that you talked about, right? 30% or sometimes even more, with 500,000 people on their email list, man, the increase in revenues is insane. So I completely can see that happening. I think that's something that a lot of businesses face, whether they are just like solopreneurs or even large 8-9 figure businesses. These happen all the time. So yeah, for sure. But tell us a little bit more about that. You said 30% uplift. What kind of results do, you know, businesses see as a result? Do you mean that as a business, if they are making like say $1 million in revenue a year, once they start focusing on the right kind of marketing channels, they see an increase so that they are making $1.3 million a year instead? Is that what typically happens?
It is highly likely that they can increase it to that level. Of course, you know, there are other factors, like for example, if you've not been mailing at all for like an entire year, it will take time for your email list to gain deliverability, right? But by and large, I would say that is a good number to tap on. So 1.3, so to speak, thereabouts. And what we typically do is we try to implement different systems, right? The reason why I tend to look into this is because email is so easy to systemize, right? To put into perspective, right, email has something called autoresponder, or in Klaviyo, I think some people might be familiar with it. Klaviyo, they call it flows, and it's like you can actually set how often you want an email to be sent out each time a person takes an action. Like for example, if a person just buys a product from you, the next day he may receive, or immediately he may receive, one email to confirm his purchase, and then the next day he can receive another email to say, hey, your order is on the way. And then also at the same time in that email, they can also kind of welcome you into the community, so to speak, right? And then it can be a whole series of emails in a few days. And these kind of emails, you'll be very surprised, right? Even just a thank you, welcome to the community, can generate like, I don't know, like 10% type of revenue increase in your email, in your revenue, in that sense. So actually, yeah, which leads me to the next point whereby actually your welcome email, right, is one of the highest ROI emails you can ever have. So that's something that people overlook. And yeah, if you put, you need to put in some effort to it, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it does take effort. It does take, like, you know, the business owner, the team, actually spending time, effort, putting themselves in the customer's shoe, right? Imagine if you buy a product from a company, and then, you know, that's it, right? You don't hear anything from the company. I think that's a terrible experience. Yeah. But just by making sure that, you know, you imagine how it feels like being a customer, what kind of experience you get, you know, whether it's a welcome note or something that, you know, introduces you to what the company is doing, or to follow up on your experience of using the product or service, I think that's great. And the thing is, when we are so focused on running the business, there's marketing, there's sales, there's fulfillment, sometimes we forget to do these things. Sometimes we don't have the energy, the effort, the attention to do these things. And like what you said, just by implementing these emails, man, bam, you start to see that revenue increase. You start to see that engagement increase. And 10%, I think, is entirely realistic. That's 1 out of 10 people. So imagine 10 customers buying something. One of them will buy more, or buy more often, just because you have these emails in place. I think that's entirely realistic. So resonates.
Just look at the statistics, right? Typically about 80% of people, or 90% even, of people will open up the welcome email, right? I mean, obviously, if you have just bought something from the company, how likely are you going to open up the email? I think it's very highly likely. Some people may miss out, so that's where the 10% difference lie. But that's pretty much a given that everybody's going to see that email. Yeah. And the beauty of this is that once you set it, you just forget about it. You put that one effort to think of the experience of your customer. set it there, write the copy, do the design, and then you can just forget about it for maybe like 6 months to a year. Then you can review each time you have your annual review. And that's pretty much about it. It's just going to continuously bring you additional money.
Yeah. But as somebody that's external to the companies that you serve, it must be very difficult for you to, you know, put yourself into all the processes that are happening in a company and you know, finding out where the gaps are. How long does it take for you to actually, you know, get yourself familiar with a new client, for example?
For me, typically not too long, unless it's a very complex business model. But if it's a DTC, like direct to consumer or e-commerce type of business, which is where I was from, right, in the past, pretty much just one session is enough for me to understand the entire business. I mean, or I had this client who was like, "Hey, Howie, can you just come over to my office to take a look?" I'm like, "Sure." The minute I stepped in the office, I was like, "Okay, yeah, these guys are doing this, this guy is doing this kind of thing." It's like, yeah, it's pretty much like, we might all think that every business is unique, right? But by and large, the kind of like departments and the segments that you have in your company can be quite similar over time. Of course, like people will overlap their jobs, but by and large, right, you will realize that it will overlap with other companies. Right. So yeah, it doesn't really take long.
And I'm sure you have a framework that helps you understand and helps the customer understand, you know, the gaps that are present in like the customer onboarding sequence or the any other flows or sequences that they have in their businesses.
Yeah, so I typically walk through. I typically ask them to do this with me. This activity with me is to write down the entire customer journey flow throughout their company, so that once we map it out together, right, it doesn't really take long. Maybe it takes about like 30 minutes or so during a session. A session usually lasts 1 hour or 2 hours, depending, because usually onboarding I do a little bit longer. But we'll just kind of like draw it out on a whiteboard and say, okay, from knowing your product, okay, this is where they know it. Let's say, for example, SEO, Google or Facebook, and then they will go into your email list, and then you have your fulfillment whatsoever. That's from the customer journey. You will already kind of understand how the company functions, and then if you want to go a step further, you can also ask the client, or at least I do that sometimes. I ask the client to tell me what sort of departments they have. But to be honest with you, Alvin, you know, at maybe like 7 figures, I think a lot of people will just tell you everybody's doing everything. So yeah, I stop asking these kind of questions, and I just ask them, can you just tell me how your product goes through the cycle, or your customer goes through a cycle instead? And that's the framework that I will use to help my clients identify the parts of their businesses.
Love it. Tell us a little bit more about what happens after you work with clients, like, you know, past clients' results, you know, what kind of boosts in either revenue or efficiency or productivity that these clients get, like, you know, just by focusing on the things that, you know, are leaks in their business right now.
Oh yeah. I mean, just to give you a very quick example, one of my latest clients, she engaged me for this is currently the second month. So when I first started working with her, she told me that, "Howie, I am so afraid of going on holiday. If I go on holiday, I can only go for like 3 days of holiday." And after working with me for like just 2 sessions, she suddenly messaged me, "Howie, I have changed my 2-week business trip to a 1-month long vacation with my family." I was like, "Congrats to you. You've gained back your free time, and you're not so worried about your company not being able to get their things together anymore." And they're pretty much worked, you know, going like clockwork right now. And yeah, with the right goals, with the right systems in place, everybody knows what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
And there's no need for you to just keep on checking. And she told me, like, "Hey, you know, all I did was I'll do a 30-minute huddle with them at the start of this week. And that's pretty much about it." Like, yeah, so I'm happy. She's also happy. Even though she told me I need to postpone the consulting call, I'm like, "Congrats to you." It's a good news for me.
That's one of my key deliverables, also the key outcomes that I was looking at. You know, if you have true freedom, that's when you have the ability to take a vacation, right? And it's not just like 3 days that we're talking about. It's really like multiple weeks, maybe more than a month. I think that's the key outcome that we are looking for as businesses, right? Business owners, right? Whether or not our lifestyle can be supported by the business that we run. And I think that's essential, right? Like what we talked about at the start, how are we even get there? What are we doing in order to get to those goals that we have? I completely resonate with that. And I love what you're doing to help people, you know, increase their marketing, improve their growth. And I'm sure the audience will want to find out more as well. If they want to reach out to you and get more information about how you help them, help businesses, you know, improve their marketing and growth, how best can they reach out to you, Howie?
Oh, 100%. They can reach out to me on either Instagram or on Twitter. I know a lot of Singaporeans don't really use Twitter, but then again, it is an overlooked social media. So both Instagram and Twitter, I'm the Howie Tan, THEHOWIETAN. You can look for me there. And then, feel free to drop me a message. I'm happy to chat about business.
Awesome. Hey, it's been great having you on the show. And if you're listening in, hopefully you like this episode. And if you want more, please remember to comment, drop us your thoughts, like, share this episode with somebody that might benefit from it as well. And I look forward to having you on the next episode of the Super Scaling Show. Take care, everybody. And thanks again, Howie, for being here.
Thanks, Alvin.